Very fittingly, the celebration of the Immaculate Heart of Mary follows on the day after we have celebrated the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's very fitting because Mary is the perfect disciple of Jesus and she follows him in the most perfect way possible, and therefore it is very suitable that the Immaculate Heart of Mary follows immediately after the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I'd just like to address two central themes in today's homily. The first has to do with the very notion of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And in particular, when we recall the scriptural notion of the heart, that the heart is the organ for seeing God, as we recall from the Beatitude, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God." And secondly, the notion that the heart is the place where we open ourselves in relationship to God and to other people. And from both of these perspectives, we can see how the Immaculate Heart of Mary is something to be celebrated. Nobody desired to see God more than Mary. In fact, the fathers of the church rather marvelously said about Mary with respect to the Annunciation and the conception of Jesus by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. They stated, "She had already conceived in faith what she came to conceive in her womb." In other words, in faith, Mary was desiring God. Mary was desiring the Messiah. And her desire to see God was fulfilled in the Annunciation in the most remarkable way. The other part of Mary's heart, which is also worth reminding, is the prophecy that Simeon foretells at the presentation of Jesus, where it is foretold that the heart of Mary will be pierced. And here too, we are reminded that the heart of Mary stands totally open in relationship to God and is willing to be vulnerable and even suffer on the part for the sake of her divine Son. And so the prophecy of the pierced heart of Mary takes us to the foot of the cross, where that prophecy ultimately will be fulfilled in the anguish of Mary united with her divine Son being crucified on the cross, to see that even in that moment of such horror, Mary's heart remains totally open to the plan of God, to the will of God, and totally disposed to be at his service and to be united to Jesus. And that leads us to the third dimension of Mary's Immaculate Heart, which is that precisely in Mary's openness of heart, in her morbidity of heart, she is also totally open up to us who are made the children of God in baptism. But very fittingly, it's at the foot of the cross that Jesus opens up Mary's relationship to become the mother of all the faithful when he says to John, "Behold your mother," and to Mary, "Woman, behold your son," that we too are represented there, and that in Mary's Immaculate Heart, there is room for all of the children of God, and therefore she is totally open in relationship to us to be able to lead us to become better followers of Jesus after the very pattern which Mary establishes as the perfect disciple of Jesus. And that brings me to the second central theme of today's liturgy that I'd like to share about, which is the notion that Mary ponders all of these things in her heart. In today's gospel reading, which is the finding of Jesus in the temple by Mary and Joseph, it concludes by saying that Mary kept all these things in her heart. In other words, she was pondering and reflecting upon the mysteries of her divine Son as she was completing her pilgrimage of faith through this world. And no doubt, as Mary was pondering the mysteries of her divine Son in her heart, she also was coming to be prepared for what would come next in her life. Because already at each stage, there are certain premonitions of what is to come. I think in particular, thinking of today's gospel of the finding of Jesus in the temple, as Mary would have pondered this in her heart and being prepared for what was to come in her divine Son's culminating act on the cross at Calvary, we can think that as Mary and Joseph had led the child Jesus to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of the Passover, which was the ultimate act of worship, recalling the saving action of God to pass over the death of the firstborn child for all those who had been sprinkled with the blood of the Lamb on their doorposts. We can see there that it will one day be Jesus who is going to return to Jerusalem and who is going to renew the heart of worship. Jesus himself will become the Passover lamb. Jesus himself and his sacrifice will become the basis of the new liturgy and of the new worship of God. And once again, it will be Mary to come to Jerusalem to meet Jesus there as he renews worship. Secondly, we can already see the premonition of Mary's sorrow beneath the cross and the anguish that she felt looking for the child Jesus around Jerusalem. We're told in the Gospel that she felt great sorrow and anxiety in that moment. And that too winds up being a premonition of what is going to come at the foot of the cross when Mary will be there united to Jesus and sharing deeply in his suffering, all the while remaining in solidarity with him the entire time, and there too experiencing sorrow and anguish and anxiety, but offering all to the Heavenly Father as an act of worship united to her divine Son. And thirdly and finally, with respect to the finding of the temple, as Mary pondered these things in her heart, we also cannot help but notice that as Mary finds Jesus in the temple on the third day, so too it will be on the third day that Mary will find Jesus in his resurrection from the dead to be reunited with her glorious Son in that manner. And that too would be something that Mary would have pondered in her heart and prepared her along the way. In fact, it's very significant that the Church remembers Mary every Saturday in a special way, because it's precisely said that on that holy Saturday, after the death of the Lord on Good Friday and before his resurrection, that it was Mary who held the faith, hope, and charity of the Church in her heart. And no doubt on account of her preparation throughout her life, on account of her living the mysteries of her divine Son's life as they occurred in real time, Mary was prepared in faith and in hope to await the resurrection and to find her divine Son on the third day. My brothers and sisters, in Mary's pilgrimage of faith, she interprets her life through the saving mysteries of her Son. And what Mary lived in real time, going through those mysteries as they happened, you and I are called to live those same mysteries in what we would call liturgical time. That every liturgical year, as we are passing around the mysteries of the life of Jesus Christ, as we are celebrating the saving mysteries of the life of Jesus Christ, we are reminded that Jesus is the interpretive lens through which we are to understand our own life and through which we are called to see how God is working in our life to help transform us to become more and more like Jesus, just like Mary did. Because this really is the goal of our life, to become totally conformed to Jesus Christ and to understand the events of our life through the mystery of Jesus and through his cross. I think in particular way, when we think of conforming our life or understanding the events of our life with respect to the mysteries of Jesus, we're reminded in particular in difficult times or in the moments of suffering that just as Mary stood beneath the cross and was united to Jesus, we are called to unite our sufferings with that same Jesus on the cross and to understand suffering and pain in the context of Jesus' saving sacrifice. That is the only way that it can have meaning in any kind of redemptive value. Secondly, as Mary was searching for Jesus, we too then are reminded that our entire life, in a nutshell, is our search for Jesus to be able to see him in our lives and to see him operating in our lives. And finally, to be able to recognize that we too should have the great hope that at the end of our life, as Mary found Jesus on the third day in his resurrection, that we too will find the Lord Jesus in resurrection, and that this is the great hope of our life. So my brothers and sisters, as we go forward on this celebration of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, let us ask God for the grace that what Mary lived in real time, we would live in liturgical time and understand the mysteries of our own life through the interpretive lens of Jesus Christ, that we would come to unite our lives completely to him, that we would understand the mysteries of our own life with respect to him, that we would continually search for the Lord in our life, and that we would always hope in his resurrection from the dead. Amen.